It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And Mark Holland joining Daniel Pryor today on this edition of Sound Mind. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever we might find ourselves, Daniel.
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah. Hey, we are talking about the subject of not counseling this week, but coaching and life coaching.
Life coaching.
And what is coaching? How's it different from counseling? You're going to kind of give us your perspective on just what is coaching.
Yeah, coaching, and people will call, of course, and say, actually ask for that specifically. Or sometimes they'll say, I think I need coaching. I might need counseling. I'm not sure. So,
both bases covered here.
They're very close together. I mean, if you've ever had a coach in if you've been an athlete or a voice coach or anything like that, you know, coaching, counseling, it's almost like a semantic thing there. But when people think of life coaching, I think most of us have been aware of, I've seen on television, you know, the public television, or maybe we've been to a seminar, and our perspective of a life coach is someone that there's a promise out there that if you follow certain principles, then you're going to be successful in all areas of life. And so a lot of times people, I think when they call me and ask for counseling, they may have that in mind, particularly if they're confused, you know, do I need a life coach? I've had people want coaching in vocation, you know, having to do with vocation, having to do with relationships, education, different things. So that's typically what, you know, we might think about the life coach is kind of like a really, you know, intense program of, you know, I follow these principles and I'm successful. I'm making more money, getting better jobs and that kind of thing. My approach is focused really on the way that life works. And so I have certain things that I teach, life perspectives, being one of those, and just different, you know, managing your inbox, just different things that people have heard the show have heard me talk about before. And I present those the way that life works. We put specific principles into play in the context of your life. And you still have to rely on the grace of God, because every life isn't the same. And it's just like if you were to go to what are some of these multi-market programs, like, for example, Amway or something like that. And you just go to these as a young man,
selling,
I even tried some of these. Mm-hmm. Well, there would be a room full of a couple thousand people, and there'd be one person up at the front. And this person, of course, has succeeded.
Right.
But the 2,000 people sitting in the chairs have not succeeded, and that's what they're doing, learning, you know, from this person. And they're all hoping that someday, if I follow these principles, I'll be at the head of the class, and I'll be. But most don't, and I think that that's what keeps people coming back. You know, the feeling of almost. But the reason that guy's up at the front and making that kind of money to speak is because it's a very rare thing to have that kind of success. And my approach is a little different. My approach is, you know, certain principles are true of life, and they work in the context of your life, and sort of stress that. And so, again, you know, as a Christian person, you still do have to, you know, count on the grace of God, and, you know, what's the purpose of my life? And then these, and so I have a kind of a mantra, or not really a mantra, but a thing that I like to say, and I like to say that life is an encounter with the sovereign purpose of God. Mm. So if life is an encounter with the sovereign purpose of God, and life is really a reflection of God's nature, then of course life has certain precepts, and I need to follow them. And life works a certain way. And we kind of can see how life works in. We have lots of examples, and some of these are like even in the Proverbs or in the sayings of Christ. For example, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
And why did Jesus say that? Because it's absolutely true. Yeah. You reap what you sow. And any farmer knows that, or anybody that's tried to, you know, plant a garden or anything like that. You know, when you plant a certain seed, that's what you get back. But life is full of these kinds of principles, and these are things that tutor us and lead us to a relationship with God, because life's an encounter. So another thing that people might be wondering is, well, it seems like pretty common sense stuff, so why do I need a coach? Well, not everybody does. People might say, how is coaching, for example, more beneficial than, say, a seminar or more beneficial than a personal friend. Well, of course, a personal coach can be more specific, can be focused more specifically on my needs than someone speaking to a room of several hundred or several right. thousand people. Right. So with a personal coach, just like if you were to think, you know, there it's really popular now, I think, in sports with parents that have a child that they think has an opportunity to really advance in sports. It's pretty popular to get that child under the tutelage of a private coach mm-hmm. because the high school coach or the YMCA coach or whatever can speaking to the group can give certain principles, but that personal coach can look at this person's life and say, within the context of what Susie or Johnny can do, how do we maximize what they can do within the context of that? So, and then the thing about personal friends, the difficulty with thinking of a friend as a coach is that because friends won't continually probe like mm-hmm. a coach will.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that, and they'll seldom be brutally honest. And frankly, they get tired of being my advisor because friendship is not just about me. Right. You know, it's not just about one person. And so you can wear a friendship out real quickly if you turn that person into your coach. And so coaching can be a really, really a beneficial thing, you know, for people.
Mm-hmm.
When do people feel like the phone call is, well, I don't know if I need a coach or a counselor.
Well, how do you know if they need a coach or a counselor? Maybe, mm-hmm. for instance, what's one of the main things people come to you for coaching on? Probably your most common to get what? Have more confidence in their life? Is that seems kind of generic. Do they come to you for coaching? It's probably a better relationship. How do I communicate better with people?
A number of different things. One of the things that it's about management. You know, coaching is about management, and it could be about finances, although I probably rarely see people that just come for finances. They would go to a financial advisor.
How about time management?
Time management enters into a lot of it, even though people may not realize that that's a part of it, but mm-hmm. certainly time management.
How to order my life. They mm-hmm. feel like, as I know, we live in a very busy world, and I would think people need ideas on how to organize all their activities.
Mm-hmm. Organizing time, organizing relationships. Sometimes people will come with the problem of, you know, I seem to be putting a lot of effort into relationships and it's not being reciprocated. Can you help me with, you know, managing relationships and those kinds of things?
Well, you've said on this show many times, too, you're very wary of people who are just dreamers. You really mm-hmm. want to help people take their dreams and take action. Tell us about that, turning those dreams into goals.
Yeah. Again, life management requires articulating goals. Recognizing barriers to the goals and pathways to the goals, and certainly organizing in that area. One of the things that I think is kind of interesting is, and I was talking to a man the other day asking this man about the, you know, what is your goal? And he was telling me about the goal, but part of his goal was, say, for example, I want to be the best at this. Say I want to be the best in the world. At basket weaving, something like that. You know, I want to be the most popular. Well, you can see there are a lot of things that I don't have control over in that. You know, I don't have control of the basket market. You know, what people are going to pay for baskets. I can't control that. And I can't really control people's tastes, you know. So, you know, art is in, you know, it's not art until somebody buys it, or beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We have all these things that remind us that I don't have control over those things. So that could not be a goal because I have no control over it. It would remain a dream and it'd be something that I would like to have happen, but I can't attain a dream and I can't control the dream part of the goal. So that all has to be ferreted out. And so this is something in coaching, you kind of help the person break this down and say, you know, what is the part that you can do something about? That can be a goal. The part that you have no control over can be an aspiration. It can be a dream. It remains a dream. A dangerous part about dreams too versus goals is that and this is something for parents to remember too, with kids or wives with husbands or husbands with wives. Dangerous thing about dreams is that dreams actually create angst and anger. because they're free floating. And so many times if I don't have control over it and it kind of goes south on me, and then I internalize that kind of a message of lack of worth. And the tendency is to take it out on other people and kind of sort of adopt a sour grapes kind of mentality and view. And then it's so easy to give up if you're chasing dreams. And
you said that was a real thing to look for in a marital partner. If they're dreaming too much, mm-hmm. sooner or later they're going to blame you for why their dreams haven't come true.
And certain temperaments are more prone toward chasing dreams. A person that is more, say, for example, not a concrete thinker, but an abstract thinker. And that would be the artist, the musician, the creative person would be more of an abstract, abstract thinking. And so this would be a person who's more prone to dreams or to chasing dreams. Concrete thinkers could be. There's also an element here of sequential versus random. You know, so you can be an abstract thinker who's a random thinker and get nowhere in life. I suppose you can also be a concrete thinker who's a random thinker.
Comes to you for more life coaching? People who are dreamers, or and random people, or people who are more sequential?
Well, of course, there's some randomness in the thinking of people that, you know, actually what they come for coaching on is to make things more sequential. So they're actually asking about the order of things. Mm-hmm. How do I get things in order? You might have a person who's a random thinker, a great artist or a great musician, but just hasn't been able to put one foot in front of the other and actually make it work. Well, the example that I gave earlier about a person who wants to be the best basket weaver in the world. So he's got a random idea, but in order to be the best in the world, he's going to have to be very sequential about it, and he's going to have a plan to put things together. Well, that's still out of his control, but to be the very best you can be, mm-hmm. And to position yourself so he could position himself in a place where he's more likely to become more popular. So that's also, you know, part of that is, you know, just teaching people, you know, how to position yourself.
Well, you say a big part of turning those dreams into goals too is patience. We're going to talk about that, patience, mm-hmm. and coaching, life coaching, in our second segment here. But before we take a break, Daniel, how do people get in touch with you for some life coaching or counseling?
Mm-hmm. And the number is 425-778-6169. You can also contact me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Of course, there's office in Edmonds and Bellevue, and places available or times available at both of those.
And some of your writing, too, is on that other website.
Yeah, it's on ChristianCounselorsForum.com. Yeah, written articles there.
Okay, and also your shows are now podcasts as well. You can get those on the Bible Based Counselor website.
That's correct, yeah.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll be back with more of Sound Mind and Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And we are back with our second segment here on Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor. Mark Holland joining Daniel. And as I listen to you, Daniel, I'm more of an artsy, fartsy type person. I probably could benefit from some life coaching because I'm kind of a dreamer by nature. And I need to learn how to get some patience, I think, sometimes with dreams and how to organize things a little bit better. Those patience. Are the kind of people you see when life coaching. Yeah. And we want to talk about patience and getting that more.
Right, because a lot of times people come for, well, counseling, but life coaching want things to happen fast.
Mm-hmm.
I do run into that too with counseling, you know, and it's reasonable. I mean, it makes perfect sense. If people come in for counseling, people come when they're in pain and they want, you know, it's like when you go to the doctor.
Just give me a pill.
You know, you don't want him telling you for, you know, 45 minutes why it's hurting. You want to, you know, first let's stop it. And so people come, they want things, they want things to happen fast. I think that's a lot of the reason, Mark, why people are willing to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go to a seminar, because it sort of has the feel of this can happen really fast.
Or some kind of weight loss program. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're turning to surgery now to lose weight. Mm-hmm. You know, that instant gratification.
Yeah, trying to pay for it. Well, so patience is a big part of, turning dreams into goals. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things about dreams that keeps us going back, keeps us dreaming, is that they're somewhat magical. And although I never get to hold the dream in my hand, I can have it when I fall asleep. And the thing about the goal is when I turn a dream into a goal, it just becomes a daily process. And that looks like too much like mowing the lawn or, painting the house or something. It just, it's one of those things. There's no magic in it. I don't have it today unless I built it yesterday. But this is the thing that we have to become comfortable with, and the patience. The Greek aphorism of know thyself. And Luke, was it Luke 21:19? In your patience, you possess your soul. So there's something about being patient and walking life, understanding that life is an encounter with the sovereign purpose of God. Nature is God's nature. Life is a reflection of who God is. And so it's a tutor. It brings us. And we have to have the patience. Turning dreams into goals means making steps toward things that I can actually control and accomplish, but it loses its magic and it becomes kind of like a daily task. And that's the thing that is a little bit difficult for some people to get used to. But again, patience is a huge part of life management, learning
absolutely,
to manage
and life coaching.
Just not let
well,
it
growing,
happen.
Growing your world, I know, is another big subject for you. And how do you incorporate this into your life coaching?
Because that's what people are actually asking too. In another way, is how do I maximize my world? How do I make my life, make my world larger? When I talk about your world getting larger or smaller, we're either moving, another way to visualize it is I'm either moving forward and into toward relationship and toward challenge and toward industry, or I'm retreating away from relationship, away from industry and challenge. And that happens all at the same time. You cannot... If a person comes for coaching, I can't teach them how to successfully move forward into work and toward goals without also teaching them how to successfully move toward relationships, because those travel together. Whether we're advancing, whether growing our world, we're growing it in those two ways, moving toward industry, or if we're retreating, we're moving away. And so if our world is getting smaller, we're actually beginning to move toward anxiety, depression, anger, even ultimately addictive behaviors. When we're growing our world, we're moving toward hope, we're moving toward confidence, we're moving toward people, we're moving toward industry and accomplishment. So growing your world is a big part of – it's easy for people to learn how to just live in a world that revolves around – that personal ego, and we can miss some of the simple principles. One of being living outwardly, and our culture is kind of that way. It's very based in egocentricity. But often the frustration and the lack of direction that people feel when they come for coaching is not about a need. It's not about my need to do something for myself. And this comes as a bit of surprise, because that's typically what I go to coaching for. How can I do things differently to make things better for me, make me feel better about myself? But a lot of times what I'm finding is that that frustration and lack of direction is also can come from my need to learn to serve other people. Mm. And that's a part of the life coaching that I work with people is, if it's always just about you, you will always continue to be frustrated and not find.
Well, I always think of life coaching as a self-help program. Mm-hmm. But self-help a lot of times really means helping others,
serving others. Again, if life is the nature of God, and it's an encounter with the sovereign purpose of God, then succeeding in life certainly has to do with helping other people. Mm-hmm. And another area to touch on just as I love it when people call. I shouldn't say that I love it when people call with problems with their faith. I love it. I love that challenge, and I love to be a part of that process where people are wanting coaching in their faith. Hmm. And it probably comes as a question. They may not say I need coaching in my faith, but they have encountered, you know, older men, older women, as well as younger, but I think sometimes older people are surprised by how much they have to go back and rethink their faith, and where they may have thought that by this age, by the time I was 50, by the time I was 60, by the time I was 70, I would have thought that my beliefs were pretty much in concrete. But, you know, life evolves, life changes.
So you help people with their crisis of faith in life coaching sometimes?
I love doing that because it's been a walk of my own. You know, it's been some frustration there. And so I've been on quite a journey myself, you know, of being, you know, just wrapped up in the whole Jesus people movement early in life, and then what was called the restoration movement after that. And just kind of ensconced in a kind of a community of, you know, intense believing people, and then but those churches have a way of splitting and breaking up like the cake left out in the rain, and then I was one of the people that realized at one point that all of my faith was in my heart and none of it was in my head. I didn't understand any of it, and then the pendulum swung, and then for years it was just I couldn't get it back into my heart, and it didn't matter how much I found it logical. Or, you know, it just wasn't there anymore. And so finding the walk back and, you know, toward there.
What was the main thing that helped you get your faith back into your heart more? Was it serving others? The whole area of being more honest?
Well, it's certainly that was the destiny, although I didn't know it at the beginning, you know. And I actually, you know, my best friend, my wife, found a book at a library that kind of tied science and faith together and brought that to me. And that just began a journey of, I then formed a group of men that got together and read those things and met quarterly and talked about it. But it was all in the head. And then my wife and I discovered again, a devotional book by a man, John B. Taylor, that began to bring it back into the heart. And then that was kind of like coming home after that journey. So I can really relate to people who have that struggle. And one of the things I try to do with them and find rewarding for myself is to normalize the process that they're in and say, there's nothing wrong with doubting. That doesn't, you know, God, you know,
I, yeah, that's not cool when you're a young Christian. Yeah. Don't you dare show any doubt.
Yeah. But you know, I was telling one person, you know, I think I've had, remember, or feel that I've had a conversation with God where I said, I'm not even sure I believe anymore. And he said, I don't care. I'm still here. It's, we can get away with a lot because of God's love. Mm-hmm. And it
takes time to learn that though.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
No, it does take time to learn that. Yeah. So, I found, with the whole thing of the faith, and you know, you've been walking a few miles again, the very idealistic kind of almost kind of communal lifestyle. I was in with an organization called Youth with a Mission. Everybody was really gung-ho and focused, but I got burnt out on that pretty quick. You know, and then was kind of in the wilderness for a number of years. And
yeah,
is that kind of what you're talking about too, that kind of that youthful idealism? And now you've been a Christian for a while. People need to be coached kind of back from back from the abyss a little bit.
Yeah.
Not that was an. I look back fondly on those years, and it was wonderful. But boy, I sure didn't.
They played a role. I mean, they instilled something, an anchor of a sorts. But I think that what a lot of people encounter is that when the wave goes back out and we're sort of left on the beach in a sense, we want to switch from one. You know, should I believe my feelings or should I believe the analysis? You know, which one can I believe? And so, part of this is just coming to the realization that it's like more like right foot, left foot, you know, and the emotions that God has given us are as valid as the thoughts that we have to analyze those emotions, and so learning to balance and go back and forth, and they're both a part of life. I think that was a you know, a huge part of that. But I think that the disenchantment, one man said, I don't know if you've ever knew of the, I'm having a difficult time remembering his name now, I apologize, but he was an evangelist in New York and he had a church there. It wasn't David
Wilkerson?
It was after David Wilkerson, but he kind of had the same ilk. He was a kind of a young man, a long-haired guy, and he had
kind of seemed like he peaked early or whatever.
He had a church in a warehouse there in New York, and he'd been through all the things, you know, stabbed several times, shot a couple times, and he was still busing kids to this warehouse, and it was a huge growing ministry. And then he was going around the country and speaking and kind of energizing people, and people, you know, you'd hear him speak and you'd just be enthused, and you'd have this vision of, and so he was talking about how every time he speaks, many people would come up afterwards and say, you know, God's spoken to me, I'm going to come and help you, I'm going to, and they would never come. Mm-hmm. And so his point was, I used to get enchanted or disenchanted. I used to get disenchanted when people didn't show up, and then I decided I don't want to get disenchanted anymore. I'm just not going to get enchanted to begin with. And whenever there's an enchantment, it's always followed by a disenchantment. But I think we have to look at the disenchantment as a very positive and necessary thing. You know, kids get disenchanted as they grow up. We get disenchanted as adults when our faith turns out to be something a little different than we thought it was going to be. But that doesn't mean we quit. That means it's just more exciting and it's deeper than we thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, issues of the heart here, issues of the faith walk. Maybe you need some coaching along the way. Daniel Pryor, obviously, is sharing a little bit of his personal testimony today. He's kind of been there and done that, been around the block a few times. I think he can really help you with maybe some spiritual disenchantment and help you get back on the right foot in that way. Because he's smiling. Yes. I know he's found some answers in this regard. Daniel, right. How do people get in touch with you for life coaching or counseling?
Yeah, that's right. By phone, it's 425-778-6169. And then I have the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, and people can contact me through, they can email me through that website. And also notice that there are podcasts there, and this show will actually be at the podcast. So you'd click on the podcast, and it will take you to the screen. You select this date or this topic, and you can hear the show again and share it. Then also there are articles that I've written on a number of different topics, some that have been on the radio and some that have not.
And that's for the counselor. What's the full Christian Counselors?
ChristianCounselsForum.com.
And I assume there's links there, too, at your main website, yes. Which is BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Yeah, all tied together. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, always great thoughts with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, and the program here, Sound Mind, on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.